Welcome, listeners, to the Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales podcast. And I'm your host, The Tale Teller, bringing you stories from all around the world to your lovely ears. Today, I have two jobs to get done. My first job is reading all my lovely iTunes reviews and gathering up any email thank yous. Then, I'll be jumping into Bree Nick Garin's story, titled Torso. That's quite a tongue twister, goodness. And this was one story sent directly to me. But first, let's start on the thank yous. For those of you who want to skip these shoutouts, the story starts at 5 minutes 48. Thanks. Favorite by Angelina Renard from the USA. This is honestly my favorite podcast. The speaker has a soft and kind voice and a charming Australian accent. His stories are well-versed and he is talented at bringing them to life. If you'd like to be spooked a little here and now, I highly recommend listening to this podcast. Angelina D. Thank you so much, Angelina. I really, really appreciate that. Great Voice and Stories by Pugsy Gal from the USA. Doing a marathon now, very addicting, and thankfully he puts out a lot of content. Great find. Likewise. I'm glad you found me. Thanks, Pugsy Gal. Fantastic material, lovely execution. Goodness, now that is a lovely review title. By Schizio Hybrid from Norway. If you enjoy well-performed tales on the creepy, macabre, and bizarre side, this station is for you. Oh, thanks. I binge-listened to this show to the point that I caught up to the latest episodes in just a few weeks. It's that good. Thank you for sharing your hard work with the world. The fan in Fredrikstad that single-handedly caused the shout-out in episode 172. Probably. Thank you so much, buddy. And you know what? If that's the case, fantastic. So glad to have you listening, mate. Jen HT Must Listen by Jesh Haltix from the USA. What more can you want? The host is a fabulous storyteller with a lot of enthusiasm. I love that. The stories are creepy, original, and never fail to give me goosebumps. Such a great podcast. Well, thank you so much, Jesh Haltix. I hope I'm getting your name right. And the last one is, this guy is awesome. Well, thanks. RAR3Fox from the USA. Huge fan and have listened to well over 100 stories in the past week. Wow. I would enjoy more episodes over 20 minutes, but truly no complaints. Keep up the great work. I really appreciate that feedback, RAR3Fox. Seriously, working harder than ever to get them above 20 minutes. But it's always a work in progress. I'll find a way, like I do every day. Cheers, mate. And for those of you who have left iTunes reviews, thank you so much. And I really mean that, because I know it's a couple of hoops to get through. And two, not all of you necessarily leave comments, so I can't attribute them to any one person. So for those of you who think maybe I forgot you, or are wondering why I haven't called your name out, good chances are you left a brilliant 5-star rating, but there's no name to attribute it to. So thank you to all of those who have left a 5-star review rating, but haven't left their name. I haven't forgotten you. And my next list of thank yous goes to those that have emailed me lovely compliments and support directly to me. So we have Gorilla, aka Doug. Thanks, buddy. Lita, thank you. Moa, thanks. Scott, thanks, buddy. DM Hall 54, cheers, mate. Mason, thanks, mate. JS, thank you for your kind words. And Celine, thank you for the story and the kind words. Rest assured, I have not forgotten about my SoundCloud or my YouTube supporters. I just need to find a good time to give those lovely listeners a shout out as well. But I'm planning it, don't worry. And again, thank you all so much for your lovely feedback and support. Now for something a little bit different. Bree, our author of today's story, reached out to me and thought, why don't we get to know our author a little bit more? So I asked her to share with us a little bit about herself that I could share with you all. So I hope you like it. Bree Nick-Garron grew up in the wilds of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and now resides outside of a historic area in Virginia, USA. In addition to writing short horror stories and books for the pagan sector, she maintains a popular blog about witchcraft and practical magic. Bree lives with her husband and two very spoiled ginger cats, and is very glad that none of them seem to mind having a pagan altar in the living room. Brilliant. I'm sure both your husband and cats are definitely spoiled. And now, turn the lights off, the sound up, and get ready for something different. So, have you heard of this thing called the torso ghost? Gary lolled his head over the back of the couch, half-empty beer bottle in hand, while Renee sat on the floor and fiddled with her digital camera. It was a typical Friday night. None of us had much of anything to do. So cheap beer and campy horror movies were the order of the evening. By midnight, we'd all be half drunk and scaring each other silly with whatever weird story we could think up or pull from the internet. I shook my head. No, is that a new one? Sort of, Gary replied. I found it on that urban legend site last week. Actually, has to do with that old warehouse past the docks. You know, the one that used to make the bombs and stuff? We did know that place. Everyone did. It was a hotbed of local rumor and paranormal tales. There had been a number of accidents there during the building's tenure as a munitions factory, and a plaque bearing the names of a few dozen workers still adorned the outside wall near the door. Naturally, that amount of pain and death in one place would produce a bumper crop of ghost stories, whether anything was actually going on or not. Renee put down her camera as Gary went on. Well, see, there were lots of workers who got maimed and stuff, right? 'Cause of the machinery. And this one guy, he was walking by one of the big ones and got pulled in and ripped to pieces before anyone could help him. When they finally got that thing stopped, the only thing they pulled out was his torso. His arms and legs had been crushed and torn to bits, and his head was squished like a pumpkin. He gave a morbid grin. They probably had to hose blood and brains out of the gears for weeks.
Ew, dude, that's gross.
Oh, it gets better, Gary insisted, grinning even wider to spite her. They buried the guy, just his torso, because they couldn't find enough of his limbs or his head to put in the coffin. They say he still haunts the factory. What, with the other 30 or so dead workers? I broke in. Doesn't it get a little crowded? He probably doesn't take up much space. See, it's only his torso that people see.
Just a torso? How does that even work? Does he float around or just sort of flop across the floor or what?
Neither. He just sort of turns up, propped up in the corners of rooms. Gary took a swig of his beer. People see him for a second in flashlight beams or camera flashes. Well, that doesn't sound very scary, I said. Gross, sure, but it's scary enough if you happen to take a picture of him by accident, Gary shot back. See, he's angry about the way he died, and even angrier that the factory didn't bother to try and find the rest of him before he was buried. He wants his limbs back, so they say. He lowered his voice to a theatrical Vincent Price whisper. They say he steals limbs from the living. If you take his picture, he'll come find you and rip off bits of you to make himself complete again.
That sounds like a load of crap. Good for scaring the kiddies, though.
We could go and find out, you know. It's not that far from here. We could drive over in like half an hour and see for ourselves. What? Are you nuts? No, seriously. Gary bounded up and leaned over the back of the sofa. Let's do it. Bring your camera and I'll drive, and we'll go check it out tonight. So, that's how the three of us wound up in a car, questionably sober, and heading for a crumbling old warehouse on the waterfront. Renee and I weren't totally on board, but Gary was jazzed enough for all three of us. The place was dark when we pulled up and completely silent, except for the distant sound of waves on pylons. All right, Gary crowed. Let's go hunt us a ghost. He vaulted out of the car. Renee shot me a,
can you believe this idiot?
Look, and we followed him. We pulled ourselves up on an open loading dock and went inside. As expected, it was pitch black. Gary and I clicked on the flashlights we'd brought with us, and Renee clicked on her camera.
Alright, genius. Now what?
You're the photographer. You tell me, Gary shot back. How about a group shot to test the camera? I suggested, just to keep them from bickering. This seemed to do the trick. Renee set the camera on a barrel by the door and set the timer. We posed against a wall of corrugated metal, Charlie's Angels style, like a bunch of dorks. The flash blinded us all for a second. While we stood there, blinking the spots out of our eyes, something clanked in the darkness. Dude, already? Gary flashed his light into the open doorway behind us. That was quick. I tried to tell him not to get excited, that it might have just been a chain moving in the wind or a piece of rusted out equipment shifting. But Gary wasn't listening. He ran off into the darkness before either of us could stop him.
Oh, hell.
Renee muttered. We ran after him, but the factory floor was a maze of chain link partitions and hulking hunks of metal that were once state-of-the-art machinery. Gary didn't respond to our calls of his name. We looked for the flickering beam of his flashlight, but no luck there either. Gary? Where the hell are you? I yelled.
Shh! Did you hear that?
I paused, listening. For a few seconds, there was nothing. Then, there was a low, soft, scraping sound somewhere nearby. Something was sliding across the cement floor, scratching and grating softly as it went. My blood froze in my veins. The image of the dead man's mangled torso flashed into my head. A bloody, headless thing dragging itself across the floor by the stumps of bone protruding from its severed limbs. The sound came nearer, inch by inch. With every scrape, my heart gave a painful jerk against my ribs, and Renee's nails sank deeper into the sleeves of my jacket. It was only feet away now. Renee shrieked, and I brought my flashlight up, futilely thinking it might be a weapon. Holy balls, that's bright! Gary threw up his hands to block the glare. Renee punched him.
You asshole! The hell were you doing running off like that?
Ow, I found something. Come on! Without waiting for an answer, he took off again. What could we do but follow him? Fortunately, this time, he stayed in range of my flashlight, and we found ourselves standing in front of a particularly large and decrepit-looking piece of machinery that sported a giant wheel on one side. This is it, Gary told us, with a triumphant spread of his arms, as if this were an art exhibition and he'd just unveiled his masterpiece.
This is what?
Renee and I said almost in unison. Oh, come on, look, he pointed to some odd brown stains on the metal grating beneath his feet. Those have to be bloodstains. I'll bet this is the machine that... We froze, staring. The wheel had just moved. It was the barest inch of a turn, but the damn thing had moved. Another couple of inches. Something clunked ominously. And with the torturous screech of old metal, the wheel began to turn.
Gary!
Renee said in a terrified whisper.
Gary! Get away from there!
No way! This is what we came to see! Come on, take a picture! Let's see if we can catch the ghost! Gary's grin was practically maniacal as he stood beside the slowly awakening machine. It was at the exact moment when I decided I had just about enough and was stepping forward to put an end to things by dragging his fool ass out of there if I had to, that everything went straight to hell. Gary's foot slipped on the grating. Before Renee or I could reach him, both his legs had been pulled under the wheel. The scream that echoed off those walls was one I don't think I'll ever be able to get out of my head. It went on and on, hoarse and ugly, underlaid by a wet, crunching sound as the wheel gained momentum and the rusted metal turned dark and wet. With a sickening lurch, we managed to pull Gary out of the gears, but it was too late. His legs were mangled stumps, pumping crimson puddles onto the floor, and his skin was already turning waxy, his pupils fixed and unresponsive. Oh shit, I heard myself say. Oh shit!
We gotta get out of here.
Renee's voice shook.
We gotta get help.
A clank from the machine was all it took to send us running. Through the labyrinth of the factory floor, back towards the entrance, we practically flew, barely seeing our way by the beam of the flashlight. The open bay was a patch of lighter darkness, and we aimed for it at full speed. I practically drove off the loading dock, landing hard on the asphalt and turning back to help Renee down. I started digging for my cell phone to call, I don't know. An ambulance would have been pretty pointless, and we were trespassing, so the cops were out of the question. Suddenly, Renee turned back.
Shit! I left my camera!
Renee, wait! She ran back to the loading dock and tried to haul herself up on it. I heard a snap and a screech of metal and could only watch in horror as the bay door came crashing down. Renee's screams split the night like a siren and she staggered back, both arms neatly severed just above the elbow. Red gore painted streaks down the lip of the loading dock. Right about then is when everything went black. I woke up in the hospital 2 days later. The cops badgered me about our reasons for being there. Took my statement about the ghost story, the machine that moved on its own, and what had happened to Gary and Renee. They told me Gary never made it out of the factory. He'd lost too much blood, and he breathed his last right there on the metal grating where we'd left him. Renee was still in a coma. Doctors weren't optimistic about her chances due to the trauma inflicted by the falling bay door, but in the end, she pulled through. After the investigation wrapped up and I finally got out of intensive care, they gave me Renee's camera. Somehow, it had remained intact and undisturbed on that barrel just inside the door. I borrowed a laptop and flicked through the photos on the memory card. I don't know what I was looking for. I think I just wanted to see their faces again. Wanted to try and overwrite the awful images etched on the inside of my skull. There were only a dozen or so, but it helped. Pictures of the three of us drinking beer, making goofy faces, grinning like idiots. I felt a lump rising in my throat. Gary had been kind of a dumbass sometimes, but we'd been friends since grade school and I was going to miss him terribly. I looked at a picture of Renee, balancing a bottle on one finger, and tried to wrap my brain around the idea that she'd never be able to drink on her own again without help or a prosthetic. The very last picture was the one we'd taken upon entering the factory. I almost didn't want to look at it. Didn't want to see those last moments we'd spent together before. It took half an hour of hovering over the next button before I finally summoned up the strength to click. There we were, in what was probably the worst Charlie's Angels trio pose ever. I laughed, in spite of myself, and felt my eyes prickle with tears. The upward angle of flash had reflected strangely on the corrugated metal, making our shadows loom above us like harbingers of doom. Then I saw it. In the very edge of the photo was a skinny, black rectangle that marked the doorway Gary had run through. I could only see half of it, but that was enough. In the very bottom of the doorway was a pale, mangled-looking lump. I somehow knew what it was before I fully processed exactly what I was looking at. It was a limbless human torso. We'd been feet away from the thing when the flash went off. Gary was closest, Renee was in the middle, and then me. As I stared at the photo, trying to find some other explanation, trying to think of anything that didn't involve vengeful limb-ripping ghosts, I noticed something else. Our shadows weren't just distorted. They were incomplete. Gary had lost his legs. Gary's shadow had no legs. Renee had lost her arms, and Renee's shadow had no arms. And now, I'm terrified to leave this hospital. Terrified to go anywhere outside my room. Terrified of what's waiting for me out there. Because in the photo, my shadow had no head. And this concludes the story by Bree Nick Garin, titled Torso. And a huge thank you to Bree for sending this in. Nothing like a haunted, vengeful spirit to give you the chills. I really enjoyed this story. The characters were charming and distinct, and the ending was on point. And yes, there was a surprise guest. I featured this narrator on my channel before when I narrated the Botnik-generated Harry Potter episode, which is number 181, and she played Hermione. So a huge thank you to my still mysterious narrator, who really captured Renee in this episode. And my question is this, lovely listeners. What would you have done against such a creature? Perhaps use some white sage? Or would you just never have gone down there at all? Either way, it's pretty nuts, right? This might have been a spectre, perhaps a ghoul, or more likely, a vengeful spirit. What do you think? I'd like to know. And tomorrow, my plan is to reach for a J.C. York story. It might be a tale-teller story, or even something completely different. Let's see how the tailwinds blow tomorrow. And rest assured, there will be more work by Bree Nick Garin heading to your lovely ears. Also, I'll put her website in the episode notes, and there's a button that says buy her a coffee. If you get a chance and have some spare moolah, I'm sure she would appreciate that donation. Lastly, if you're able to tell a friend about the podcast, that would be awesome. Word of mouth kicks the crap out of most advertising, and I love it when I hear people saying my friend or family member got me onto this podcast. And thank you, the listener, for simply listening. Have a great day or night. On that note, it is that time. This is the place where stories live, and you tale-tellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night, and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And as always, till next time.